I'm Jessica Mitchell with this West Side Focus interview. Today, I've been speaking with Miss Amy Noble, who is the orchestra director for the Ben Davis Orchestras. How long have you been a director at Ben Davis?
This is my 11th year with Ben Davis.
Okay. Why did you choose to become an orchestra director?
I kind of fell into it. My mom was a concert pianist and also an organist, so I've always been around music, and I've always done singing and instrumental too, and you know, I've been doing all that kind of stuff since I was a kid. And luckily, I just kind of fell into it. My life has been a weird series of lucky events, and I kind of ended up in the right place at the right time. My first job was teaching band and orchestra, and I definitely had much more of a liking for teaching orchestra than band. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, I'd like the literature a lot more. It was something that I just, my heart kind of drew me towards that. And then the job at Ben Davis opened up after being in Chesterton for 2 years, and it seemed like the best fit. And I really kind of lucked out ending up in a job that I enjoy. I like what I do, and you know, I get to make a difference every day. So not everybody can say that.
And why did you choose to teach? Why didn't you choose like performance?
Probably because of performance anxiety. Yeah, I think I just had like a natural knack towards teaching. I've always been teaching with groups and been teaching even like private lessons when I was younger. You know, it's always been something that I've always kind of been into without even really thinking about it. Like I said, it's kind of a series of just being lucky at liking what I do.
Okay, and what college did you go to study to become a music teacher?
That was actually a hard decision. I had auditioned at Capital University in Ohio, which is like a very tiny private Lutheran school, and they had given me a full ride. And then I auditioned at Miami University of Ohio, and they had given me a large scholarship. And then I went to Ball State because one of the band directors at my high school did send at Ball State, and she told me about it. So I kind of went over there just on a whim to check things out, and I really ended up liking the studio teacher that I was going to be with. And after about, you know, probably 2 months of hot debate between my dad and I and college costs and the fact that I was out-of-state tuition, I finally swayed him towards Ball State, just because when I went to Miami, the professor that I would be working with for about 4 to 5 years, turns out 5 years, he didn't seem like the right personality for me. And then when I studied with the director at Ball State, when I was with Mr. Swager, he was just far more of an approachable personality, somebody who I could easily learn from and, you know, still feel okay to laugh. And you know, he's just way more my style. So I ended up being lucky and choosing the right one. And when I chose that, it actually turned out to be, I think, only a difference of about $400 per semester. So it really wasn't so much in the long run, even though it was quite a fight with my dad to turn down a full ride scholarship.
Okay, so how, like, since you became a teacher, how long, like, how has it affected you? Like,
way more than I ever knew going into teaching. I mean, you go to college and you kind of have this idea that you're going to be this teacher, and you know, you have all these thoughts of I'm going to do this and I'll do this different than, you know, when I was a student. And you know, some of those things have come true. Like, I've always promised myself, you know, I would provide opportunities for my students to travel that weren't adult-based trips, you know, where you're watching something that, you know, probably a 60-year-old would enjoy but not a student. So that's something that, you know, I've come through with that. You know, it's always kind of been my focus is, you know, having the students and their opinions weigh into what you do. And I probably didn't realize the importance of that when I was younger, but, you know, the more I teach and the more I see that, the more students own music if they actually like what they're playing, you know, and if they have a say into what is going to be programmed that year, it just gives them way more ownership and more drive to actually play the music. So that's one of the things that's kind of changed. And I think one of the things that I guess is the most different is you don't realize the rewards in teaching when you're younger. You know, yeah, it's a paycheck, that's great, you know, you're going to make a living and that's wonderful, but you know, you also don't realize the students that you'll have come back that, you know, say, hey, you said this and I remember that, and you know, that changed my life. And, you know, moments like that, you can't find that in the business world sometimes. And, you know, and I'm sure they're few and far between, but in teaching, you actually get to do something with people, you know, and you're affecting students' lives in a different way. And it just provides a great point, a viewpoint to where you can do something different and you can help change the issues with society, and you actually have an effect on that, you know? And it's something that I probably found to be really, really important. You know, you look at the problems with today's youth, and, you know, that's something that I can help with. You know, I don't have to stand by idly and hope for the best, you know, because, you know, I have some of the best and brightest students, and I can actually talk to them and, you know, help guide them in a way that may help change things for the future.
Do you recommend, like music to anybody?
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, actually. Like, it takes a certain type of person. If you're going to go into, like, music education, you have to be able to have that drive to practice really, really hard. And, you know, some days it's going to be 6 hours a day. If it's before, you know, if it's in college and you're prepping for juries, you know, maybe 6 hours a day. It may just be 2 hours a day, but you still have to have that drive to really, really hone your skills and get really good at that one instrument so that you can survive through the music school. So a person has to not only have that talent and ambition, but they also have to have the academic side to where you can go to the education school, which is totally separate from most music schools, you know, and you have to survive that area too, to where you can sit through an educational philosophy class and, you know, talk about things that might totally not pertain to your classroom, but, you know, they might in the future. But, you know, you have to be able to click the switch and be an academic person on one side and then, you know, go into a whole nother persona where, you know, you're driven to a point where you probably could go into a professional music career, but, you know that you'll be teaching someday, but you still have to have those skills, you know, at least to a certain point to be good enough to make it through that. So it's a tough, tough major. I've seen a lot of kids drop out of it. I know that most of the people that I started with in college actually don't teach now, which is really sad, but, you know, I could probably name on one hand the people who graduated with me who actually are still teaching. So it's a tough job to survive. It's a tough major to survive, but, you know, if you do, there are rewards out there that really, I think, far outweigh a lot of other rewards in different careers.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing your story. Once again, I've been speaking with Miss Amy Noble, who is the orchestra director for the Ben Davis Orchestras. Stay tuned to WBDG for more West Side Focus interviews. For WBDG News, I'm Jessica Mitchell.